Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Conan O'Brien was visiting Whidbey Island in Washington to support his wife, who had a new play opening there. When he arrived, residents of the island presented Conan O'Brien with his very own trash can, titled the Conan Can, using only the finest paper, tape, and Sharpie to do so. One of the locals said, "We'd like to dedicate this trash can that has long served this community to a person that embodies civil service in as much as the trash can itself." The city of Langley has been long looking for a person to dedicate this icon of civil service to, and when we heard that Conan O'Brien decided to visit our humble retirement community in celebration of his own retirement, to which O'Brien jumped in and said, "I didn't realize I retired." The local said, "A lot of you might ask, why Conan O'Brien? Who better to symbolize our sleepy retirement community than the man who spent his career putting people to sleep?" Conan accepted the award. "Look at the time and trouble you guys went to. This is a great honor. I want to thank all of you for this fantastic privilege of having a trash can named after me." After the ceremony, Conan signed the can. Variety caught up with Stephen Colbert, who said, "Job number one is comedy. People lay a lot on any host that talks about what's going on today as if we're news, as if we're here to instruct people, if we're here to be a form of Xanax or something. But really, the only reason we went into this was to do comedy. Our self-imposed mandate was, what is everybody talking about today? Unless it's inescapably tragic, we're going to find a way to make a joke about it. Because I'm not here to make light of someone else's tragedy, to make light in the face of tragedy, to give people lightness in a dark world. That's a different thing. But of the tragedy itself, that's not my business. So I want to talk about whatever people are talking about today in terms of being a divided country and not being able to have the same facts. That's not new. So the job's the same." Gawker had somebody at one of Louis C.K.'s shows in Paris. I found this fascinating. Gawker writes, "The queue to get into Louis C.K.'s Paris show was long, primarily made up of French people. That makes sense because it was in Paris. Inside the Casino de Paris, which is how you pronounce it in French, the 2,000-seat venue where he performed to two sold-out audiences, press not invited. The crowd was buzzing. CK is famous in France. Who knew? We're as famous as a stand-up comedian can be. Stand-up comedy is a relatively new phenomenon in this country, where comedy tends to be more of the sketch and theatrical variety. The form is still considered somewhat déclassé." By the way, don't get old. I just had to make the font bigger because I couldn't read the script. Poor me. "If people in France have an understanding of stand-up, it's mainly through streaming services like Netflix. Often French fans might not even be aware of the controversy surrounding their favorite Anglophone comedians. An enthusiastic audience greeted CK when he took the stage following lackluster opening acts by comedian friends Greg Hahn and Robert Kelly. One bro among the spectators yelled, 'We love you, Louis!' Louis expressed discomfort with accepting love. He then opened, surprisingly, with his take on Jesus' miracles." All right, let's do this material. Let's remember the chain here. Louis wrote and performed this stuff. Somebody was at a show, kind of remembered what Louis said. It was printed in Gawker, and now I'm going to read it to you. So I'm going to guess Louis' presentation of this was better, but let's go for it. "The bride's father must have been annoyed with all the water it turned into wine. Lazarus' wife must have been ticked when Jesus brought him back to life." He recounted the tale of the fig tree from Mark 11, 12 through 25, wherein Jesus kills a fig tree by some sort of divine commandment because it wasn't bearing fruit yet. The punchline, again, I'm just going to fourth-hand quote Louis C.K. here. This is not the words of Johnny Mac, but the punchline from the fig tree's perspective was, "Come back in 2 weeks if you want food out of season. Go to Whole Foods, you effing Jew." Evidently, having missed the memo that calling someone a Jew is no longer considered a funny punchline, CK continued down the path of pretending that rattling off stereotypes makes for adequate jokes. Talking about statues of Jesus in churches, he said, "I'll tell you what Jesus was not, and that was Korean." Then performed a pantomime of Asian slanted eyes, oh no, and told the audience not to tell anyone. But apparently there was more to the Jesus statue bit. He moved into an impression of a black Jesus statue saying, "Hey man, get me the F down from here." And he used a minstrel-like voice resembling the musical Avenue Q's interpretation of Gary Coleman. Fart jokes were also aplenty. CK said, "Farts are funny. Some people are like, that's lowbrow humor. I'm like, F you. What could possibly be funnier than a trumpet noise coming out of your a-hole? That was God's first gift to Adam." That was followed by a riff about how Eve ruined it when she came along. It's fascinating, isn't it? It sounds like a really weird set. But that was just the warm-up for his next bit about how much he enjoys fart porn. He described one such video called Nice Girl Farts in Your Face, featuring a nice girl farting loudly and then reacting with embarrassment about it. She's mortified, CK said, and I was so turned on. I was hard as a rock because I realized fart porn isn't about farts at all. It's about shame. It's about the sexy shame of a really nice girl who just thunder farted right in your face and she didn't mean to. Remember why Louis went into comedy jail timeout for a little while? That whole thing sounds really awkward, a joke or not, but Louis specifically talking about getting off on someone else's shame. I don't know, man. I don't know. To finish his set, CK told an anecdote of how he doesn't like being called daddy. He had already joked about how the young women he slept with found him a perverted sexual conquest, a familiar gag for anyone's listened to his material over the years. On that note, he said he didn't like being called daddy because he has a father and he used to call him a daddy. And I'm very much cleaning this up here. When he would have sex with his own father, the audience laughed, to which he responded, and I'm going to quite paraphrase here. Thanks for laughing at me, paraphrasing having sex with my dad. I was not laughing. Skipping some words here, it was my idea. I made him do it. I was like 12. I don't know about these jokes, Louis. And then his performance was done, as he informed the audience. The applause was thunderous and lasted a minute. Some people got on their feet to give him a standing ovation. He came back out to read some malformed new material from his notebook, and his fans applauded with vigor one more time, capping off a strange night of comedy that was hack to the max. To this audience, still new to stand-up and not yet familiar with or apathetic to the indignity of hackery, farts, saying the word MF-er, and fat jokes were enough to elicit laughs. Here, you can emerge from the shadow of disgrace, still relevant, Louis C.K., uncancelable. Wow, what a review. All right, The Hollywood Reporter talked to Hannah Gatsby. They asked Hannah, have you ever in your travels or comedy goings-on crossed paths with Ricky Gervais? Hannah, no, he didn't have stand-up by the time I started. His sort of UK world was pre-mine, but I'm aware of his comedy if that's where you're building to. Hannah, what would you say to him if you ran into him at an award show or something? What a weird question. Hannah, I'm the sort of person who wouldn't matter because people don't talk to me. I really have an F-off energy and I really enjoy it, but I wouldn't go out of my way to talk to him because I don't think there's any point. He's made up his mind. He doesn't seem like a nuanced thinker. I don't think we could solve the issues backstage at an award show. He's set. There's no changing his mind, so why bother? THR, do you think there are people who think the same thing about you, Hannah? She said, probably. I mean, I'm open to having my mind changed. I always find it interesting that people think about me. That's fascinating, isn't it? I always like going back to where I came from, which is invisibility. The first 30 years of my life, extreme invisibility. So the idea that people have to talk about me is incredibly funny for me. I will share here, Ricky Gervais recently tweeted after show, Armageddon new material night. They laughed at things that shouldn't be laughed at, and I've reported them all for hate crimes. I'll do more soon. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN allows you to reroute your connection to a server in a country of your choice, making geo-restrictions a thing of the past. Yeah, say you really like British television and you want to log into the BBC. Who's in the Docklands? Obviously I am. That's where I record the show every day. Right, ExpressVPN? Right, BBC? Sending data over an unencrypted internet connection is like sending a postcard. Think about a postcard. Dear Sally, I'm here in the Docklands. Hope you're well. Now, the postal worker could read your postcard, but if you put it in an envelope, then the postal worker doesn't know what you sent to Sally. That's what the VPN is. Whenever you're connected to an unencrypted internet network on your phone, computer, tablet, TV, etc., you're sending countless pieces of information out into the digital world that can be seen and intercepted by many different parties before they get to their intended destinations. You don't want that. Be a little bit private, like me. I'm just watching the BBC here in the Docklands where I live, clearly. Fire up the app and connect with just one click. I love it. I fire up the MacBook here that I used to record the podcast. As soon as I log in, it's like, boom, here you are. All right, so get the deal, man. Get an additional 3 months of ExpressVPN for free when you sign up for a one-year package. You're going to go to expressvpn.com/DCN. ExpressVPN.com/DCN as in Daily Comedy News. ExpressVPN.com/DCN. Vulture spoke to Cat Williams. They said, the way you open your last special, Great America, has become a legend among comedians. That special starts with Cat Williams doing 12 minutes specifically on Jacksonville. They asked, how does a comedian come up with 12 incredibly specific minutes about a place he doesn't even live? And how do you make that work for audiences across the country? Kat said, with each special, I'm trying to showcase and utilize a different comedy skill set. That particular special was me trying to get closest to the being I was when I originally started, where I was overwhelmingly impressed with every place I was going. Yeah, I'm kind of like that too. I'd be in your town for 3 or 4 days. I do 2 shows on Thursday, 2 on Friday. I'm here, I'm there. I'm at the best restaurant. I'm at the barbershop, at the club, at the strip club. I'm everywhere I need to be to do the stand-up thing I do in real time. That special is about taking it back down to its real essence. It's kind of my calling card, comedically, because I can't guarantee everything I say is going to be the funniest thing you've heard about the subject. What I'm trying to guarantee is that all my conversations will be original conversations that only I, singular, as a comedian, am having with this base, right or wrong, funny or not funny, thought-provoking, stupid, whatever it turns out to be. Variety asked Hannah Einbender, what was your first stand-up comedy show like? She said, my first live show, I was in college. Nicole Byer came to my school and asked if anyone from the improv team wanted to open for her. I was on the improv team and I volunteered. I did 8 minutes and I went to open mics around my school and just wrote and got a little makeshift set together. And then I opened for her in a theater full of my peers. Kind of nerve-wracking, but also kind of safety net type thing. Just nerve-wracking because I was like, oh my God, I love Nicole Byer. I can't believe she's letting me do this. But I was hooked ever since. I love stand-up. I always have. I never really saw myself doing it, and I never saw myself doing comedy. I joined the improv team because I met a kid who told me I was funny and suggested that I try out because he was the president. So none of this I'd ever considered. I'm still very in my head as a person, but at the time I was very young and just so much more in my head. So improv was not something I was really strong at, but I love comedy. And so stand up, I was like, you can prepare. Everything is planned and it's thoughtful and there's no pressure. I started to realize that was a better fit. As I did stand up, I became better at improv because I had the safety net of good jokes to fall back on. Now I love improv a lot. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can become a premium subscriber, $5 a month. First month free gets you the episodes ad-free and early release. You can do that on Apple Podcasts. They'll put the option under your nose. You can buy me at coffee.com/dailycomedynews. See you tomorrow.